want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 354, recorded live on June 4th, 2014. I'm your host, Ted Hardhat, with
Daryl W. Ford,
Scott Burks, and
Steven Zad Infinitum.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line, once I learn how to talk, at 63031-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com. For all your geocaching needs, cache-advance.com. Go find it. Well, gentlemen, welcome back. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Fabulous.
All right. The weather's starting to look really nice, and sometimes you may have to run in between the raindrops, but at least you're not out there in the slush. At least I hope you aren't for all the people around the planet, and you're out being able to go out and do some fun geocaching. Corey, they still got snow in the mountains?
Yes. Backside of the mountain, still about 3.5 feet.
3.5 feet. Okay, so that means you get that week in July to get your geocaches, and that's about it.
Hey, you know they still got...
There was 144 inches.
Oh, wow. You know, they still got the ice on Lake Superior, too.
Lake Superior? Yeah, where was I? I heard somebody... It was on one of the other podcasts. I can't remember which one, where they were talking about people actually sitting on the chunks of ice still floating in the lake.
Yep. Wow. Yeah, Lake Superior still has ice. Right? It's the longest in, that's like, 100 cool. years that they've had ice, or the latest in the year that, you know, so... There's still some issues with the shipping up there, too.
Wow. I know that lake is cold because when I went camping up there, that was the lake we kept our beer cold in. So, I mean,
we just
dropped it on.
Yeah, you generally don't go swimming in Lake Superior unless you're ready for cold water.
No, man. I'll tell you what. But it's clear. I mean, you can see down 80 feet and not have a problem with it, but it's a frozen 80 feet. It's a cold lake. Let's see. Interesting stuff this week. I got a call last night from Don Bain, who, if you listen to the Tech Podcast Network, Don is one of the techie gurus. As a matter of fact, he's known as the Gadget Professor. And he has a podcast that, actually numerous ones, but one of the ones that he does, there must have been some type of list that went out. I remember somebody talking about it somewhere. And geocaching came up as being one of the favorite things this year for people to go out and do during the summer. Well, he got a lot of requests from people saying, hey, what's geocaching? So he called me up last night and literally said, Andy, I know this is short notice, but would you mind coming on the show? And I said, sure, when do you want to do it? He said, about 10 minutes. So that's where I went. I actually went on the Gadget Professor impromptu and did a nice 15-minute spiel about geocaching. So hopefully we got a whole new audience of people getting interested in our game sport and obsession. So that was pretty cool, and once I get the links on when the show actually gets produced and put out, it should be sometime this week, I would think, we'll let everybody know so they can go take a look and a listen, because it was a video cast as well. Other than that, I went out like the rest of the gang here and played with the geocaching intro app, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit, and we'll see what happens with that. But that was it for me this week. Daryl, how about yourself?
Well, I did get out with the Android and the iOS intro apps just to reacquaint, because, you know, Android's new, iOS has been completely overhauled, and interesting app, but it still doesn't do everything, so I couldn't do all of my caching that way. And here's the interesting thing. I actually had to DNF an Earth cache for birds breeding.
Okay, well, that's good, because who was it? Was it Corey last week? Who was the one last week with the bird on the birdhouse?
Well, that was me.
Another bird story. That's good.
Yeah. Well,
he is really a nice guy underneath that.
In this case, the entire area for the Earth cache had been closed because the birds nest on the ground and they don't want anyone accidentally squishing a nest or anything. So I totally understand that.
Oh, yeah. Right, sure.
What kind of bird? Yeah, well, I don't remember what the bird type was, but the cache owner had forgotten to disable the cache, and they always do that time of year. But I was really looking forward to doing that because that would have been my 100th Earth cache, and it was right in the same park as a cache that was hidden in January of 2001, which is one of the months that I'm missing for the hidden calendar. So I figured, I'll take a drive, get both caches with one stone, and yeah, it didn't work out so well for me.
Mm-mm, so you couldn't get either one?
Well, I did get the January 2001 cache, but that's a whole other story of disappearing trails.
I'm intrigued. All right, well, if we got time, we'll have to talk about it, because that's always fun stuff. Mr. Scott, Crystal Lake coin caches.
Yeah, hey, I went out to Crystal Lake, which is a suburb just north of me. Every year they have a coin they give away. You got to find 12 caches, put them in a little book, and you get a coin. And so Sunday, I was at my son's baseball game, and it actually got rained out. So got out early, so Jesse's, shortened it, said, hey, let's go Crystal Lake, go get that coin. All right, cool, let's go get it. So we head out there, do 11 caches. The final one, it's about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday night. The final one is a library cache in the library.
No.
Yep. Now, mind you, this is about 40 minutes away. This Crystal Lake's about 40 minutes away from me. So we had to go back Monday after work for one cache.
All right.
To go to the library. Yeah.
But it's worth it, though. What do you finally get with that? Is there an actual reward that they gave you for that?
Yeah, I don't have it. I actually got to go back and pick up the damn coin because they're not that. I got to go back, and now they're like, okay, you're approved. Go come pick it up. Okay, so I got to go back, go get it again. But it's trackable. It's really nice. It's their 100th year, Crystal Lake. So it's actually a really nice coin. I've seen the coin. I'll show it next week when I get it. Awesome. But this is actually their fifth year doing it. So, I mean, it's brilliant for them. Geocachers come from all over, the North Chicago area to come get these coins.
Absolutely cool. I love that stuff. There's a lot of trails out there and a lot of state parks that are putting those together where you can go through and get the collections. Yeah. I think those are absolutely awesome. Mm-hmm. Mr. Corey, how about yourself?
Well, I had decided that I was going to go try the intro app out. And as soon as I loaded it up, it took my username and profile and all that, and it was kind of neat, so I played around that for a little bit, and then I decided to create my own, so I did that for a little bit, and I became the GCP caching, and so there's gonna be a few questions about who the heck is this guy, it was fun.
You gotta sit there and say, yeah, he's new, don't worry about it.
So I said, yeah, I was caching with this guy because, there's a couple signatures on there and they look awful identical. So, we're okay, I think. Can we be the same people?
It works for Batman.
Sure.
Split right down the center.
I don't judge you, Corey. I don't judge you.
Okay.
Good
but
stuff.
Yeah, I had fun. So we'll talk more about what I found out, or
that's
what my
exactly
prognosis
right.
And analyses were
good stuff. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. What's coming up this week on GeoGearheads?
This week we're talking with Rob of Munsey, and the whole show is going to be about all the new stuff that came out for Munsey and some of the new stuff that is coming out that hasn't yet.
Oh, that's going to be good because, Munsey has its place. I truly think it does. It's one of those things where geocaching is always going to be my favorite love for things like that. But there are times where you just need to get out there just for a find, and Munsey is a great way to go. So I'm going to be looking forward to that one. On the Geo Snippets Reboot podcast this week, wife Amy and I are going to be talking about different ways for planning your geocaching days, either be spontaneous or something that it just takes a couple hours or something an entire day goes by. We're going to be going into all different ways of planning your geocaching day. So that's tomorrow on the Geo Snippets Reboot podcast. And now we're going to be going to the geocaching question of the
geocaching question of the day. Geocachers, I'm Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, I've been caching since 2002, and I've been in the business of geocaching since 2005. Monday through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, have you ever found a geocache in a cemetery or graveyard? Well, we were really excited to see how many hundreds of cachers really like the history and beauty of visiting cemeteries. Well, CJP Carr on Twitter shares, I found quite a few in cemeteries. The occupants don't seem to mind as long as you're respectful. Well, Twilly4545 on Google+ said, yes, many times. I think they're some of my favorites because of the history and some of the caches. Well, Jim on Facebook said, any chance I get, by far the best urban places to geocache. And Kathleen also on Facebook shared, yes, and I have a good geo friend who asked that we put one right next to his headstone so he could still be in the game. Wow. Well, hey, we really enjoyed hearing about caching in cemeteries, and you can too if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks, and happy caching.
Thank you, Lisa, for that wonderful thing for the geocaching podcast of the day. All right, now going on to episode 354, Geocaching Apps for Beginners. Okay, guys, now I have to tell you right now, I went to the doctor's today. And if my throat sounds really ragged and rough, it's because it is, because I'm literally getting in the middle of a sinus infection. And so I am going to do something that is going to totally shock and surprise our entire audience. I'm going to shut up for a while.
And, oh, my
yes,
goodness.
And let you guys talk over it, and I'll do my little parts for my day. We all went out this week and played with the intro app for geocaching.com. Stop it, Scott.
Sorry,
be nice.
Sorry.
And we just to get a nice perspective to for that particular app, we had heard some different mumblings and grumblings and thoughts about it that we wanted to verify. And whether it's true or not, why don't we go over some of the stuff as to what our thoughts are of it and what we actually was able to accomplish. Darren, I want you to go ahead and start off.
Well, I was going to say maybe what we should also do is give people an idea of what the intro app is, if it's not clear from the title. It's really an app designed to get people into geocaching for the first time. It's available now on Android. Hadn't been before. It was an iOS app for years. Not a very good one, but it was there for years. And then they've updated the iOS app and brought out the new Android app, so it really is a whole new experience. It's a lot better than it had been before and does a lot of the stuff like logging that originally was not available in the iOS app. So it is tying to the Groundspeak account to get it in. Yeah, my impression of this thing really is a great way for that new cacher if you're looking for something to say, hey, you have that smartphone, go out and try to find a cache with it. Just download this app. It's a great place to start because it does kind of walk them through it. If you're going out with someone, it might not necessarily be such a good answer for them.
Yeah, now one of the things that I did something similar to what Corey is. I tried it at first with my current login, and I thought, oh, okay, how easy is it going to be for somebody to just create a login, because wasn't one of the issues that we had heard about was the authentication. And
right.
So I actually made a new one called Polywog.
I did Snarky Pants. I think
that was my thing. That's awesome. And yeah. I actually had no problem getting the because I went on geocaching.com afterwards to just verify that the account was actually created. You did have to go through a email type transfer when you did.
I didn't have to.
Well, really? Yeah, here's the way that works. In order to actually verify the email address from the accounts that are created, you have to go through that process. But the account is active. The account works. You just won't get the notification emails as the way that it was explained to me by Groundspeak. So if someone goes and clicks to try to contact you through the profile on those new accounts, until it's manually authorized over Groundspeak right now, you're not going to be able to get the emails. However, that was something that was supposed to be happening, that you know, they were going to change that process a little bit. So it could be that they've actually changed that process, even you know over the weekend as they were prepping to do the stats changes. Maybe they got that snuck in there too.
Yeah, because I just created the account and off I was. I mean, it took 5 minutes and I was, you know, I did it directly. I was happened to be in Busty Woods. I'm like, oh, I got to do that intro app, and just popped it on my phone and created an account and off I was.
Yeah, I thought I was in trouble because the name that I picked, you know, was a perfect hit. Nobody else used it on the first try, which that never happens. And I thought, okay, it's not getting through. Let's face it. And yeah, I went through and there it was. I was very surprised.
Yeah, now one thing that we should also mention is the intro app doesn't give you access to all of the cache types either. It's pretty much just traditional caches.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't like the way it worked personally. I didn't like the whole you know, when you move it and then the little I wish I took a screenshot of it and I didn't. It puts the arrow in the center and you move it around. Do you follow the arrow kind of a thing?
Well, you don't have live tracking for one. It refreshes about every 10 to 15 seconds. I mean, it's definitely not live tracking. I could watch myself get closer, but it would refresh after a little bit longer than that, 15 to 20 seconds. Then it would refresh.
You know what?
And it really depend on what kind of membership you had, whether premium or basic.
You know what, though? I'm wondering if your update issue might be the issues that a lot of the Galaxy users are seeing with KitKat. Have you updated to KitKat on your Note?
Yeah.
Are you noticing issues with other apps where you're having issues with location reporting?
No, I noticed I finally got CacheSense to work.
But CacheSense is actually, you know, giving your correct location and letting you get to the cache? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I used it today, and I was able to get to the caches. Okay. But I noticed that there was a delay.
Yeah, see, find it, buddy. I've not had the update issues on the Nexus 4 or on iOS. So that's why I wasn't sure. You know, if, maybe it could even be something that's just a little bit squirrely that... you know, the intro app isn't working quite right with that, you know, Note 3, is it, that you have?
Yeah.
So well, it could be a bug.
You always run into that. Everybody's getting that.
You always have that issue with Android, though. There's so many flavors of so many different things that you're going to get variances like that. It's not like you have with your iPhones where you've got one version or two versions that you're going to mess with.
Right.
So I would not doubt having different type of variety changes with that. What I was curious about, just as a side note with the mapping, the range of the geocaches around you, they actually have it so you have one. There is no such thing as block this out, I already found it. You see all geocaches that are there, whether you found them or not.
Right.
The other thing was that mile radius or so that's around. So anything outside, you get these little black dots that are where the geocaches are, but we're not going to tell you about them because you're not close enough to them.
As a basic member, you get a mile.
Yeah.
And then everything else comes in a gray box up to 2 miles or 2.5 miles. If you want to upgrade to a premium membership, you can see those, but trying to search outside that box, you can't in the intro app.
Well, and this is really what it's all about. It is an intro app. It's designed for you to find your first few caches, decide if you like geocaching, and then go and buy the full app and, you know, hopefully upgrade to the premium membership. It's really just a free trial kind of situation.
The first one's always free.
Didn't the old intro app didn't it run just like the real app?
Yeah, but they were very limited.
The original intro app was based on the code from the app itself, you know, for navigating and everything, but it didn't work quite the same, and it actually seems to be more open now than it had been. It used to be that it had like a 2-2 limit on caches that you could find. So if it was over a 2-2, it wouldn't even show you the cache. And if it's premium only, it wouldn't show you the cache. And it didn't matter if you were logged in as it didn't even log in initially. You know, it was just anyone could download it and use it. It would only show you those 2-2 caches or less in, you know, the closest 10 or something. I don't think it even did that. I think it was only 3 caches that it would show you.
Yeah, right, three. Yeah, yeah, but it seemed to be a. It seemed to be like it was a, just a better functioning app in terms of getting somebody to find a cache. This one I found it very frustrating to use that app, and I've been caching for 5 years. You know,
Well, and I think that's part of the problem, though, is that we are experienced cachers, so we're jumping in with expectations. We're we're looking for. How can we get the cache with this? And it really does want to walk you through all of those screens of, okay, here's what you do. You go out in the woods. You go find this cache, you know.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I liked about it, and I don't know what it was like in iOS, but what I liked about it for Android was simply that, especially for a new cacher, because you can open it up and you can see. I like that it gave you the warning, say, hey, you know what? Because the old intro app kind of gave you that warning, say, hey, you know what? You're taking a risk by going outdoors. This one kind of gave it to you again, and then of course you go out, and then. There's the recommended ones that come up in a big box and talk about, hey, these ones are recommended for newbies. You know, these are like the 1-1s, the 2-2s that are really recommended for people who are new and have recent finds. Well, they really take a lot of factors into account. They've got recent finds that are really low, really easy to find and low. And one thing that I really, really loved and it was one of my favorite things was as I was walking closer to the cache, I got this little note that I absolutely just fell in love with, because I get my head set around trying to find Ground Zero so often, and it was this thing: your GPS is only accurate to about 30 feet, so start looking around.
Yeah, that is a great one.
And that was one of my favorite things. I'm like, oh, yeah, duh.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and because I get so blind about trying to find Ground Zero that I need to start looking around. So I was really happy to be able to find that. And it was fun. It for a newbie that's trying to get out there and trying to start, I can find it very simple. And as far as some of the things that people were talking about as far as the logging issues, I tried pushing every button whatsoever to try to make it do some random logging issues. I couldn't do it. I put out some blank logs out there. I couldn't find a way to change any of those logs in the app. You know, I have to go back through the computer and change them. Mm-hmm. But it does give you kind of a heads up as far as, hey, this is kind of a shaded area. This is kind of what you want to say. Even in a DNF did not find status, hey, this is what a DNF is. You know, it's okay if you don't find it, but marking a DNF helps everybody in the community understand that, hey, you didn't find it, it's okay, and it may alert to everybody that there's a problem, or even somebody can give you a hand if you're a new cacher, and you know, it can make the experience more fun so you don't get
so it's more straightforward, so that the new person that goes here doesn't actually put into the log, hey, it's underneath the bush.
Yeah, but the fact that
yeah, don't give away spoilers. Yeah.
But the fact that it's just it's a like a pre-recorded, so to speak, answer, like, hey, I found your cache, send, you know. I mean, what is that teaching them about filling out a log? You know, about filling out a log and saying, "Hey, great cache." You know, it's more or less basically what I do is found it, no problem. Thanks for the hide. You know, I mean, how is it any different than just a copy and a paste? Whereas you're supposed to, the whole point of geocaching is to, you know, talk about your adventure and whatnot. And this is telling you to just put, found the cache, thanks.
Yeah, really, I wish they had a whole lot more guidance in there, particularly, you know, don't put spoilers. Yeah, yeah. That didn't really seem to come across anywhere in any of those screens. But, you know, one of the accusations has been that it has predefined logs, and I couldn't find that anywhere on either app. And before the show, we were speculating maybe that's actually coming from some of the third-party keyboards that are, like, app-specific. And, you know, if you had 50 different people who typed in TFTC, that's going to come up in that field because 50 other people have said TFTC is what belongs in that field, so it's going to predict that might be something you want.
Yeah, we'll have to do some more research and find out if that, that kind of situation may be happening. We're just kind of speculating at the moment, but it has been brought up in the past. I've had several people come up to me at different times saying about that, and that's all the reason why we were having this particular episode, because it was brought up and we wanted to have us check it and see what we can find, and I couldn't find anything either. So, you know, we'll have to find out, and if you know, and you understand why those may be coming up, let us know. Send an email to us at the Geocaching Podcast and let us know your stuff, and we'll put that out in a later show. All right, lots of good stuff. Any final thoughts as far as the intro app, one way or the other? I thought it was really great. The only thought that came to my mind with it, I'm in a very saturated area. So if you've got that 2-mile stretch or 1-mile stretch where it's showing where those geocaches are, I'm going to have quite a few pop up on this. For somebody who is more in a less saturated area, what happens? Does that get frustrating for them?
I bet, yeah. I mean, personally, I hated it. So.
Okay, fair enough. That's what opinions are.
Hated
for.
It. Yeah. Hated it.
Well, I will say that another good app or another good reason to download this is if you are an experienced cacher and just want to feel for what geocaching on a smartphone is going to be like, it's a good, quick, easy way to jump in and say, okay, I don't like using the smartphone. It's a wrong form factor. It burns the battery too much. I'm not going to bother. But if you like it, then you definitely want to go and pursue some of those other apps and see which one you like and which one is going to work best for you.
Yes. Snarky Pants will never find another cache. I'm positive of that.
Corey, your main thoughts?
I think they could have done more, on this, definitely. But that's always something more for the books, and I know Groundspeak's always working on something else, and right now they've got a lot of things on their books. You know, right now I do think it's a good app that can help, and really I think the best thing for new cachers is going to be the geocaching community.
I think the iOS app, I've never used the Android app personally. The iOS app is a great app. I mean, I use it, 85% of the time. It's a phenomenal app. It's gotten much, much better over the years that it's been out. And I think the intro app is just, compared to the real app, now obviously you pay for the real app, but I think they could have just done a watered-down version of the paid app, and it still would have been a great app. Yeah. You know, I think compared to what the real app was, the intro app was a complete letdown.
Yeah. I think if them using it as a tutorial tool, it falls short. It gets you somewhere in the baseline, but I really don't think it's verbose enough to really get the information out. And if they're not going to be willing to put that kind of effort into the intro app, then I would definitely think them going more what Scott's going by as far as what to do. I'd be curious to find out what the percentages are of the people that actually use the intro app that either go over and then say, yeah, this is what I want to do, and go pay the $10, as opposed to, the geocaching isn't for me, and go off.
You'll never know those numbers.
Yeah.
They'll never tell you, though.
Yeah. That's good. All right, why don't we shift gears just a little bit, because we got a little bit of time left. Some of the alternatives for geocachers, besides the intro app, if they wanted to get into geocaching, and what type of ones for the different operating systems do we want to get into? Daryl, you want to start off on that one?
Yeah, well, Scott already mentioned the official app, which is $10 on Android or $8 on iOS, is available and probably the first one that everyone's going to hit. But there are a number of other alternatives, and the nice thing with the Android ones, all of them are free, at least for a demo version. So CGO is a favorite for a lot of people to actually use for their caching. It's not one that I would necessarily recommend for newbies because it does tend to be a little bit steeper learning curve.
Yes.
CacheSense, again, it's a great app when you're using it, but it's going to use the demo for the free version, so you only get a limited, I think it's 30-day demo.
It is.
Yeah, and that's my favorite caching app on Android. It's not as easy to use as I would like for newbies, but it's still a good way to get in and use a real caching app. Neon Geo is the same deal. It's a free demo version. That one, you know, I don't like the app as much, but I think it might actually be a better app to try for, you know, as a new cacher, because I think it probably doesn't have quite the learning curve that CacheSense does.
The interface is a little easier to play with that one.
Yeah, it's a little bit more straightforward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I know CGO is huge out here. I mean, Jessie swears by it. I can't get her to switch to iOS because she doesn't want to give up her CGO. You know,
it's my secondary. I keep both. I keep CGO and the geocaching app, because there are situations, they're usually bizarre ones. One app will get what I need if the other one can't. For whatever
it's
reason,
it's a great app. I mean, I see, you know, it's got that live maps and whatnot. It's a great app.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean.
Yep. Yeah, and all of those do have the live maps as well for Android.
Yep.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. On iOS, though, Caches is a $4 app that I think is probably the best one for new users. I really only use it because it does new cache publish notifications, and I really like having that. So for those FDF hounds on iOS, I just keep it on my phone just for that one thing, which is getting those notifications. GeoBucket is a free app that is probably the next easiest one for cachers to use. It does contain ads, but you know, you'll probably get into that using it pretty quickly, and it doesn't have any cost until you want to get rid of those ads. And then geocaching with Geosphere is, of course, my favorite. And that's $8, though, but much more powerful than any of those others, and a lot steeper learning curve than the others.
Now, the absolutely kicker with geocaching with Geosphere, I absolutely love it. I have that on my iPad, too, which I keep in my automobile when I go geocaching. I've got a nice little holder that you can have right on the dash, and that works beautifully with that.
Yeah, I use it. I use it on geocaching day back last December, and it was phenomenal. Daryl recommended it to me because I was pulling in help me. What was I pulling? I'm totally blank.
GPX.
What are you pulling?
thank you. A GPX. I totally just brain farted, and it was great. I brought it in, and it was phenomenal. You know, because it showed me, because it was all puzzles that we were doing, and it gave me all the finals. You know, to all the puzzles. It was great. I mean, I used it. I loved it. A steep learning curve, absolutely. It's you really gotta mess around with it for a while before you get a hang of it. But it's a great little app.
Yeah, and there's a lot to that app. Like if you're really gonna use the templating for your logs, that's one of my favorite features about it. But getting the most out of it does take a little bit of skill and some learning on how all of those tags work. But once you've got it, it can really improve your logging.
Yeah, that's the thing. CGO has a really good template for your logging as well. And Team Mars in the chat room said that CGO, they thought that that was easier than the official app as well. I liked it because it's open source, and of course they're integrating it with open caching now. If anybody uses open caching. So, I mean, there's good things about it. And, you know, like CacheSense uses integration with Muncie as well. So, I mean, there's perks about it. If you're willing to take the time to get with the learning curve, I mean, there's perks about all these different apps. So,
the nice thing with the Android ones is you can download at least the free demos and play with all of them and see which one you like before you shell out the cash and make your final decision. But, almost any of these apps, with the exception, I think, of caches, will handle the third parties. You just have to, you know, third-party listing services. You just have to download them as the, the GPX file and load them in manually.
Mm-hmm. No. I don't ever. See, that's too much work for me. I'd just rather put them in EDAC. I have that as well if I need to load them in manually.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Once we're getting to that level, we're talking about much higher level apps than a free or a new cacher is going to probably want to start with. And this is
that Geosphere's got that nice where you can pull it from Dropbox, that really nice feature.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and so does CacheSense. You know, that's not an uncommon feature when you get into the apps outside of the official one. You know, that's part of my thing with the official app is it, I love it for that quick, you know, hey, I'm right here. Where can I find this cache? You know, like on an FTF run. Frankly, at this point, I'm using Geosphere for that as much now as I was using now that they've got the live API support. But I really did like using the official app for that. Much out of that, you know, here I am, I'm going to find this cache, I switched over to using another app, whether it was looking for cache or Geosphere on iOS or CacheSense on Android. You know, I just wanted something that did a better job of handling the multiple caches and the logging than what the official app did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just love the CGO where Jesse uses it, Shortinits, and, you know, she pulls up a map and then she actually scrolls up and pop the, you know, the caches pop up where I, with the official geocaching app, I have to scroll up and then hit the search button and then they pop. You know, they populate themselves on hers and I have to push a little button for it to populate.
Yeah.
Much, much nicer on the CGO. That's yeah. It's a great feature.
It is. And that was one of the reasons that, they kind of got in trouble before they went to the new open source version. If you haven't tried it since the open source version, and actually I should say if you haven't tried it within like 6 months of it going to the open source version, you definitely need to try CGO again because it has drastically improved. I couldn't even get it to run before it was open source. It kept crashing on me for, you know, this reason or that reason. It didn't work. And now that it's the open source version, it's a lot more stable, a lot better featured, and doesn't annoy Groundspeak as much.
Yeah, and you can save large chunk of tiles offline if you're in very spotty service areas.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Which is a really great feature.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, unfortunately, it looks like we've completely lost Head Hard Hat, so I think maybe we should just wrap up without him, and hopefully his computer comes back to life.
I guess he was having computer issues.
It wasn't just him that's sick, it's his computer, too.
He shut up, shut off, and logged out.
He came back.
Wow.
We just noticed you were gone, Andy.
I told you it was going to be quiet.
We were just talking, and we were having a good old time.
And now we had a power flicker. We actually do have storms coming through, so that's why.
We thought your computer caught your virus.
Did they lose video, too? Were we off the air that whole time?
I don't know. Well,
we should be live.
You should be live for your side, so we'll be cool with that.
Yeah, the host can drop without affecting the participants.
Oh, okay. That's Montana's blue skies.
All right. Good stuff. All right. So, are we cool?
We were just about to wrap.
We were saying really mean things about you, Andy. I can't wait till you listen to the show when you put it together.
Awesome. I love it. We'll edit appropriately. Okay, well, thanks, folks. We hope you had a good time tonight. I, of course, have panicked. It's all right. I'll clean up the mess later. It'll be fine. All right, let's go from there. Thanks. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thanks to Jaleesa and cache-advance.com. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Daryl Wattenberg and Andy Smith. The show is copyright 2014 by Andrew T.